Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. Small Business Consulting to Go is sponsored by Smart Vault.
Hi, this is Darren Root, and you're listening to episode 17 of Small Business Consulting to Go. Today we'll be talking about business transactions and the internet. But first of all, I'd like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP, and more specifically, our sponsor of Small Business Consulting to Go, Smart Vault. Today I'm with my regular co-host, Doug Sleater. Doug's the president of the Sleater Group. The Sleater Group is a national accounting software consulting firm with over 600 members in the U.S. and Canada. Welcome, Doug.
Hey, how you doing, Darren? It's good to talk to you again today.
Fantastic. How's things in Hawaii still? I guess okay?
Yeah, it's all good here. You're doing well.
Well, Indiana is a little gray, a little drizzly. I call it a perfect winter day.
Perfect winter day. Well, you know, we need winter to appreciate summer, so.
Yeah, except you live in California, then Hawaii. So that's what I call summer.
Well, this is true, except California does get pretty gray, too, sometimes, despite what they say.
I guess so. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about business transactions and the internet. You know, this area seems to be evolving rapidly. I know you have a lot of ideas around this. You do a lot of training QuickBooks consultants, QuickBooks consulting yourself, as well as a lot of other software consulting. So tell me what you mean by business, or explain to our audience what we mean by business transactions and the internet.
Yeah, like you say, evolving very quickly, so there's a lot of parts to this concept that today I'd like to kind of introduce and have you and I kind of talk a bit about it, and we'll help everyone understand kind of why we think that as you advance the clock 3, 5, 10 years down the road, the internet is going to play more and more of a central role in every transaction that you do between trading partners. So let me just kind of paint a little scenario here. So Darren, you're my customer and I'm your vendor. I sell some products and you buy those products. But by the way, you might buy those products from me or another a company as well, or maybe you've got 15 suppliers that might provide that same item. And you want to know when you go to reorder for your stock, maybe you're a retailer or maybe you're a distributor or something, you want to know when you go to buy, number one, you want to know who has the item that you're looking for. And you want to know how much they want you to pay for it, and that might be changing all the time. And you want to know what the availability is. You know, can I get it right away? You might not want to know a whole bunch of data about your supply chain, if you will. And you'll want to be able to make that communication with me efficient. You don't want to get on the phone and say, hey, Doug, you got part number 45123, hopefully I'm on the phone and then I got to answer you, and, you know, it's very inefficient the way it is. Well, the internet's perfect for this kind of thing, and so what we've developed over now 20 years or so is this concept of the internet and the web, World Wide Web, and one of the coolest inventions is the web store. But at this point, it's everybody pretty much knows what a web store is. If you go to Amazon.com or even Dell.com, you can go and you can do all that self-serve. But what you're doing there is you're doing what we'll call client-server computing to do that. That means, Darren, you're sitting by your laptop there or your desktop, and you're initiating a transaction or a session between your computer and this website in the sky, and that is a server, and that server is serving up everything it knows, and you, if you know what you want from it, you can ask it questions and it'll tell you the answers. Well, that server only knows what it knows, and that means it knows what, if you're on Amazon.com, it knows a lot because it knows every book in the world, and you can order any book, and you can see the price, and you can order it right there, and it can come to you. Well, obviously, that's cool, and pretty much everybody in our audience is doing this. But here's where that doesn't really serve us for the long term. Remember, if you remember back in my conversation here, I said, what if you wanted to buy from me or him or him or him? You know, a lot of different, you wanted to, you know, compare our prices and make sure that you were always getting availability information and pricing, and to optimize your business, you want to know where you should buy from. Well, if you're at Amazon, you're going to see what Amazon knows about the world. And if you're at Dell, you're going to learn all about Dell computers, but you're not going to learn about the other guys. So this is where the term peer-to-peer comes in, and I really think that's where we will ultimately end up with the Internet. If the Internet today, the model is of a client and a server that I just described, the Internet of tomorrow will be much more about peer-to-peer. So your desktop computer on your desk wouldn't it be cool if it could just call my computer directly without having to go through any server computer? Just call me up directly in an electronic form without user interaction per se, and have your computer ask my computer, hey, what do you got on hand right now, and how much are you going to charge me for it? My computer could answer you, and then you could actually then enter a purchase order directly to my computer, and my computer would get a sales order, and we would fulfill that and send it to you. That's the kind of vision that I'm seeing going to take place. It's only a matter of time before we see these kinds of things coming true. PayPal is a good example of where banking is starting to go this way. If you wanted to send me money, you could send me money with a PayPal, which is essentially you email me money, and that's, although a server is involved there, the concept is similar in that now you're just sending me sort of money, fake money in a way. Credits on your PayPal account become debits on my PayPal account, and we all agree that we can trade services for those debits and credit, your credits or my debits or vice versa. So I think that's what's going.
This kind of harkens back to, I'll bring back some of the old days. Remember Lantastic?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a peer-to-peer. It was very simple, but, you know, it was a way kind of pre-small business networking where a computer could be in the other office and we could hook a cable between them and they could kind of talk together from one computer to the other without going through a server.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is this kind of takes that concept but extends it out via the Internet. So now if I want to buy something from the Sleater Group,
mm-hmm.
I could attach right into the Sleater Group's, I guess, IP address somehow,
mm-hmm.
and know what you have on hand and buy something.
Right.
Right?
And at the same time, you could compare – if that was an item that I sold that was available at many different places, you can compare our price to another price and then just send your PO to the one you want to buy from.
So right now, in order to do something like that, let's say I'm looking for a Fujitsu scanner, I've got to go out to a price grabber and do a comparison, then go to somebody's website and try to make an order.
Yeah, and those are actually, you know, I'm not criticizing those at all. It's because those are coming along. I think that's what those kinds of, like Price Grabber might be a good example of exactly, it's sort of down this same path. Everybody's recognizing that isn't it more powerful to be able to see a broad range of information across vendors instead of just one-to-one?
Well, you think about a small, I mean, I've got to imagine that a Walmart has some of these capabilities with some of their major vendors.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start thinking about a small retailer or consumer of some sort, small business, having the same sort of capabilities and the amount of efficiency that would save,
yeah.
That would be tremendous.
Yeah, Walmart, for example, rallies around EDI, which is a protocol, if you will, for the business transaction piece of it. So the raw order and invoice and sort of transaction piece. But in addition to the transaction piece, we need shopping and e-commerce pieces so that we're bringing value to the whole business operation beyond just the simple transaction, because the transaction only happens if the shopper or the purchasing agent or whatever has decided this is the vendor I want to use for this particular transaction.
Well, this is a pretty amazing strategy. I mean, has this been, have you seen this around for a while? Is this kind of new, or what's happening?
I am in almost full bore mode of looking for people who get this, who are going to engineer around it, who are going to give us these tools that are easy so that we could go to a QuickBooks client and say, hey, I got this for you. And, it needs to be installed very easy in the operation. It needs to be inexpensive because nobody's going to buy something if it's, enterprise level, Walmart size, hundreds of thousands of dollars, because small businesses just won't go there. So, yeah, I'm really looking for people who understand the benefits that we're talking about here. And who have the, I guess, for lack of a better term, the smarts to kind of engineer the solution. And then I think the market awareness to, build products around the concept, products that are really useful.
I really like the concept. You and I know a number of vendors that are currently allowing us to take our business transactions to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily in a peer-to-peer way, but more in a cloud computing sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
We talked last time about Bill.com, and I pay our bills here using Bill.com, and everything sort of resides in the clouds from a payable standpoint. My digital file cabinet at Bill.com or a Smart Vault, same sort of thing.
Yeah. Smart Vault has a great, a key part of anything online is getting paperless. So both your Bill.com example and the Smart Vault example is sort of founded on getting paperless and faxless, if you will, even, and then storing things in a way that they're accessible from anywhere in the world. Both of the products, Bill.com and Smart Vault, go down this path of, transactions on the internet. But for lots of reasons, they are client-server models. So let's take Smart Vault for a minute. You got to have a server if you're going to do backup, which is they do a lot of services around backing up your data file. Well, by definition, that's going to be a server somewhere or a cloud-based place where my data will be stored, so I can, have it if I need it. One thing I think to be careful of is I'm not implying that client server is useless or needs to go away. I'm saying that there are so many examples of things we do every day that if we could do them in a peer-to-peer way, it almost jumps over a whole set of things we cannot do in a client-server world, or that if we do them in a client-server model, they're inefficient. Even email is client-server, meaning there is a server in the sky and every email goes through that server and maybe it goes from server to server to server. Well, why? Why doesn't it just, Darren, I know your IP address, my computer can know your IP address, your computer can know my IP address. Why can't we just send things directly to each other? Email, business transactions, a lot of things. And, it seems like it would make everything more efficient.
Well, all this stuff is happening. I can see application for, all the above, the peer-to-peer business transaction, as well as, a smart vault and a, to paperless my QuickBooks file or bill.com. I mean, all those things I see having tremendous application.
Mm-hmm.
All this is moving stuff. You know, it's the title of our thing, moving transactions and to the internet.
Yeah.
So I see them all moving things out to the web. You know, I was recently talking to Randy Johnston. We did a Tech2Go podcast, and Randy made a statement I thought that was interesting, that he felt the next 5 years of change would be greater than the last 10.
Yeah, or 20.
Yeah, if you look at how much change we have had, I mean, I go back 10 years ago. I mean, it was a dramatically different world for us here at my firm. And to think that the next five is going to be twice as fast, potentially.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
And it's funny because at first I said, or 20, but no, I think 10 is probably, we're all just guessing, but, you know.
Right.
Because if you go back 20 years, I mean, the internet wasn't really even going yet.
Yeah, I didn't have my mobile phone hardly.
Man, no mobile phones. Yeah, just to think of all the things we couldn't do 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. And, I think peer-to-peer is going to be one of those things that is going to be sort of foundational to enable all of these other features, if you will, of the way we go about the world. So I've focused on just the business transaction of purchasing and selling to each other, and that's a relatively small piece of what this underlying technology could actually bring to us. There could be, again, going back to the music sharing thing, there's so many ways we share. Like I have a group of 600 accountants that trade ideas on a Yahoo group forum every day. Well, that could go peer-to-peer just like that. You know, they're all part of a group. They're all authorized to talk to each other directly. And actually, that's maybe one of the pieces of this we should get to today is the security aspect of this, because I'm sure some security people are saying, whoa, careful here. And that is something we always have to be aware of.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting thought. I mean, remember back when, I buy all my music now through iTunes, and have for quite some since it came out.
Right.
But I remember the whole Napster thing, and I remember seeing where you could, you know, search for a song, and it would go out and look at all these computers all over the place and find these songs that you could then download, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that kind of what we're talking about here?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, that just broke all the copyright laws in the whole world.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Unfortunately, it was illegal.
Yeah. So therein lies the challenge, I guess, for publishers of information and intellectual property to take advantage of these kinds of technologies without giving away the store. And that's why iTunes came on, and it is a client-server thing, and it is it's a web store. I mean, it's a pretty simple case of a web store. But all of the music publishers were very interested in making sure things like that happened to protect their intellectual property or their music and artistic rights. So I think there will always be that rub, but when it comes to something as simple as a business transaction where there isn't really IP involved, that is intellectual property involved, but simply an order of please send me in and ship me and here's the ship to address, simple problems really, there's no reason to protect that per se. Other than to secure it in the sense of I don't want somebody else snooping on the data that is in these transactions. And actually, there's really good news on that one too. You know, with the encryption of transactions and the relatively small data size that, let's say, a purchase order that you send me is, what is it, maybe 1K of 1 kilobyte of information? That's probably even more than most purchase orders really need to have in them. So they're really small little bits of data traveling back and forth, so you can encrypt them without any performance, well, without a significant performance degradation, overall, you're just not going to have any problem adding the security that one needs to protect the transaction, without slowing anything down. So it's something that is quite solvable, and mainly because we have in the business world, a pretty small data size, data bandwidth need for most things like orders and fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. And the pipes opened up a lot over the years, and so with the small amount of size with that pipe, it happens pretty quickly, which brings up a product I know you know a little bit about. Probably you know more than I do, but it's method integration.
Yeah.
And it's kind of something different. And to me, it was a little hard for me to get mm-hmm. when I first started looking at it. I had to really drill into this to get it.
Right.
But it's really quite unique. It's not exactly what we're talking about, but it definitely takes business transactions to the Internet. Give me an overview of what Method does.
Method integration, these guys are really smart. Been working on the product for several years. What it really is again, it's client server in the model I just painted a minute ago, where there's a server somewhere in the sky. It's hosting the method integration engine, if you will. And let's say you have a QuickBooks file, and you want to allow your customers to interact with, not log into, but interact in some way with your QuickBooks data. You want them to be able to come to a website to do that. And you want that website to be able to show them, maybe after logging in a secure way, of course, show them data that is directly synchronized with what's in the QuickBooks data file. Well, Method has some tools that allow you to basically paint your website screens or web screens with anything that you can imagine that exists in the QuickBooks data set, and have the customer, vendor, customer, anybody really, interact with that web page and have it update what the QuickBooks data file has. So that's pretty compelling.
And that happens in real time, too. I mean, I watched a demo this recently. If you make a change, let's say a phone number on a customer screen in Method, instantaneously that happens in QuickBooks.
Yeah, down on your desktop.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, so that's why they're so smart, or that's how they prove to us that they're so smart, is they've not only done the synchronization, they've done it in a way that makes it so quick. And in general, I'll just say applications that do a lot of data back and forth between the QuickBooks data file and their application, you know, it's often the QuickBooks SDK that is what's the slowest part of that whole thing. Well, Method has seemingly, you know, resolved that speed problem. And I talked to their CEO about it, Paul Jackson, and he says, yeah, well, that was the hardest part of what they're doing is getting smart about asynchronous communications with the QuickBooks data file so that they can really, really improve the performance of these things.
You know, other applications that I saw as I looked at that, an example would be, as you know, I'm the managing partner of an accounting firm.
Right.
So I may have a client's QuickBooks file on my server here.
Mm-hmm.
But my client really only needs to enter and pay bills
mm-hmm.
or do sales orders or do invoicing.
Right.
They can log into the Method integration portal, and on the accounts payable tab, they can add a new vendor, they can enter a bill, they can pay a bill, and that information, without them even having a copy of QuickBooks,
yep.
That information can be in their QuickBooks file, so I can kind of manage their QuickBooks file on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
And if I make changes on my end, they have that data back at Method
right.
as well.
If you do something that affects what they're able to see, correct.
Right. That's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, and accountants love the concept, as you're probably saying here or implying to me. You love the concept of being able to give your client easy access to the things you want them to handle, but not even let them touch the things you don't want them to touch. It gives you the ability to kind of control the use case.
It does. It gives you the ability to be more of the controller,
right.
CFO, trusted right. advisor, whatever, of the QuickBooks file
right.
without them getting in and being able to do a lot more than maybe you want them to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, that's pretty neat. It's another way of taking transactions to the web, so I think it's something worth looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think this business transaction thing that you're talking about, this peer-to-peer, has huge potential.
Yeah.
Just to connect a lot of small businesses together, which is what we want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look right now, you and I are connected on Instant Messenger.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're online, I can see that you're online, and I can kind of ping you and say, hey, what's up? But this takes that to a different level. It takes our business transactions to that level, I guess, to a degree, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Perhaps.
I know how much I'm enjoying, you know, the ability to network with my peer group.
Yeah.
So a business then can extend their reach on out potentially
right.
as well.
Right.
Wow.
And
really
then,
cool.
And then maybe to come back a little bit to what you were kind of talking about, let's just look at this from the accounting firm perspective. If you could take all your clients and have them, I don't know, I'm always looking for a way to help my clients improve their businesses, their workflows, their processes, their communication with their vendors and customers. And if you could take them, whether it's software or a combination of software and services or whatever, but if you could magically solve for them this concept of them being able to instantly and inexpensively communicate transactions between each other, you'd really be a hero to them, and you'd look like the smartest guy on earth.
No doubt. I suspect we're going to hear more about this as the year goes on,
mm-hmm.
and also as you start thinking about your conference in November.
Yes.
It will
be a big.
Well, it seems
big
like you just
there.
Finished one, but I'm sure it's time to start thinking about another one.
Yeah, we're thinking again. This year's going to be in Orlando, and so all the East Coast folks who've been telling us, you know, come back to the East Coast, we're doing that in Orlando. It's November 9 through 12, and so we'll be talking about these kind of issues just a lot. We're going to bring vendors who will have solutions around these. We'll have a lot of product announcements. I can already see several vendors gearing up for that show, being the rollout of the solutions that a consultant could take on and go and install for their clients.
Well, that's fantastic. As you know, I was at your conference in November,
mm-hmm.
and I would put it at the top of my list. I thought it was fantastic. I think it's a must-go for people who are, whether you're running a bookkeeping, accounting firm, you're a consultant, whatever the case may be, I think it's a great place to learn about these new products.
Mm-hmm.
If the rate of change is going to continue at the level that we're discussing,
mm-hmm.
I mean, people have got to get out and find out about this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's almost a defensive move as much as an offensive move for the accounting firm or consultant to come to these conferences, read the trade rags and those sorts of things, listen to things like our podcast, I'm hoping, because, Darren, you and I spend all of our waking hours looking at new technologies and seeing how they can apply and then helping those vendors understand what they ought to be doing that people really need, because so many times we find programmers who just need to be told how it needs to work. And that's what we do for them. So then when we come out and do conferences or write articles or something, we're trying to really complete the circle of customers and accounting firms who can take these products and really put them to use.
Well, I can't tell you how much I appreciate what you do for the industry and in particular what you do for, you know, my profession. So I appreciate that. And I think we're out of time today, but we're going to be talking a lot more about this peer-to-peer stuff, I suspect, as the summer comes upon us. So this will wrap it up for episode 17 of Small Business Consulting to Go. Again, thank you to SmartVault for being our SBC to Go sponsor, as well as ADP for being our overall corporate sponsor. Thank you very much, Doug.
Thank you.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via talkshoe.com.